This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you've tuned us in. Again, if you would like to contact me, I will give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. We appreciate those of you who take the time to write and who pray for this ministry. You can re-listen to this program on my website. You can download it to your computer. The website also has a weekly email meditation on it. I email it to many of my contacts. You can read it on the website as well. If you'd like to be added to that subscription list, I'll need your email address. And if you'd like to be added to Grace and Truth's subscription list, the monthly magazine that I publish in from time to time, again, I'll need your mailing address. Grace and Truth will send you their magazine free. So if you'd like to contact me, you might want to get a pencil and a piece of paper out so you can write down either my mailing address or my website address at the close of the program. Now today we're going to continue looking at Luke chapter 9 and 10. Actually, we're into chapter 10 now. As we look at chapter 10, the Lord has called his disciples. He's called 70 disciples to go out two by two into every village and to preach the gospel of the kingdom. And we've been asking the question in Luke chapter 9, if we understand the true cost of discipleship and the importance of following the Lord and not making excuse. As we go into chapter 10, we're looking at principles that the Lord lays out for those who do serve him and who are willing to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God. And we've asked the question again in Luke 10, are these principles for us today? And while there might be some aspects of the work that we would do differently today, I believe that the Lord is giving us principles that should be applied today. And we're going to see that those principles relate to money. Those principles relate to hospitality. Those principles relate to keeping our focus on the mission rather than making the mission a business and our focus. And so we've ended up last time looking at Luke chapter 10 and verse 3, where he says, "I send you out as lambs among wolves." And that is an interesting statement because the work of preaching the gospel is a dangerous work. Lambs are unable to protect themselves. They need a shepherd to protect themselves. Wolves, of course, like to feed on lambs. And there are many wolves out there trying to destroy the lambs who are trying to do the work of God. And at first this could cause us to fear if we didn't realize that we have a shepherd who is willing to protect us amongst the wolves. But we do need to recognize that there is going to be resistance to the work that we do. Then chapter 10 and verse 4 says, "Carry neither money bag, knapsack, nor sandals, and greet no one along the way. But whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house,' and if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it, and if not, it will return to you." Now, it's clear in my mind that he's saying here, keep focused on the preaching, not on money or on possessions or clothes or even on networking. You notice that today when many people are ministering the gospel, the first thing they mention is how that they need money. Well, the Lord provides for his own. The gospel is free. And it's clear that the ministry is not designed to make men rich. Carry neither money bag, knapsack, or sandals. He's saying, really, just as he said in the Sermon on the Mount, that he takes care of the flower in the field, he takes care of the bird, and he will, on a daily basis, take care of those who are serving him. Now, why does it say greet no one along the way? Well, the Oriental greeting often took time, and it was a social thing. It was a way in which people spent time together and socialized together. And he's saying, don't greet anyone along the way because you don't want to be sidetracked from the mission that you've been sent on. Remember that at the end of Luke chapter 9, there was one who would have been sidetracked because he wanted to go take care of his father until he died. And there was another that would have been sidetracked because he didn't like the fact that the Lord didn't have a home. The Lord had told him, foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has not where to lay his head. And another was sidetracked because he wanted to go home and tell his family goodbye. He basically wanted to have a goodbye party, but that would have been similar to greeting someone in the marketplace. It would have given people the opportunity to turn a person aside from the dedicated work that they were doing or want to do for the Lord. And so this is a problem of that culture in particular, where a greeting wasn't just simply a greeting, it was a time of socializing. And so then we come to their need for a place to stay. Most travelers stayed as guests in homes. They didn't have motels or inns or beds and breakfasts. And so the Lord says, whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon it. And if not, it will return to you. Now, this is sort of an odd way, it seems to me, of saying that when you come into a village and somebody allows you to come into their house, it won't take you long to find out if they're an encouragement to the work or whether they're a discouragement to the work, whether they really want you to preach the gospel of the kingdom, whether they really love the Lord or whether they don't. And if they are an encouragement to the work, you're to stay there, and the Lord will bless that home. His peace will be upon it. And if they are a discouragement to the work, you're supposed to basically accept that fact. And it appears to me that based on other things that are said in the passage, you move on. Now, it was the Oriental custom to not let people stay outside if there was no inn, no place for them to rest for the night. And so often people would open up their homes, and it was the way of this culture to entertain in their homes. And that's why when Lot came to Sodom, he ended up being in a home when those evil people came and wanted to have his daughters as for immoral purposes. He was being kept in a home, and there's many instances in Scripture where people were traveling and they were kept in homes. Now, when it came to Mary and Joseph, they were not kept in a home, and I've always wondered why not, because that would have been the normal procedure if the inn was full. But nevertheless, hospitality was provided for them, and people were hospitable in that day, and they often entertained people that they did not know who were traveling through. And if a person was going to stay in a home, the home that they stayed in would need to be, as we would say today, in fellowship with the work that was being done. Otherwise, it would make it very difficult for the person to stay there. And then in verse 7, it says, remain in the same house. In other words, if this home is open, if they're in fellowship with what you're doing, remain in that same house, eating and drinking such things as they give you, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house. And I've often wondered why he says, do not go from house to house. And it seems to me like if somebody has opened up their home and has made you feel comfortable there, you're not to go and look for a better place, and you're not to go and try to get other people to support you as well. I think there was often, it was often true in these cultures where if you were traveling and you had needs, that people would try to help you with your traveling expenses. And even if I'm wrong on that, they definitely kept you while you were in their home and were hospitable to you while you were in their home. And if you went from house to house, it would almost be like you were looking for a better place to stay. But I think another facet is that if you were going from house to house, you could become a busybody and a gossip. So the Lord is saying, find a place, stay there, and do your work from that place. As they feed you, don't feel badly or begrudge the food they give you, because you're worthy of that. You're serving them in that particular city where you are preaching the gospel. So eat such things as are set before you, heal the sick there, and say to them, the kingdom of God is come near to you. So you don't go from house to house, but you do go out into the city and do your work there and tell them about the kingdom of God. Now, the one difference I see between the way we work today and the way they worked then is I personally, as I said on this program before, don't have the ability to heal the sick I don't have the ability to cast out demons. All I have the ability to do is to preach the Bible, to preach the good news of God, the message that God has given to us. And so I would, of course, pray for the sick. I would be concerned about the sick, but they were able to do miracles to prove that they had the very word of God, that they were spokesmen for God. And we have the Bible, and people can go back to the Bible to see that we are spokesmen for God. But we go into a city and we preach the gospel, and we find out that when we preach the gospel in that city, some will receive it and some will not. You tell them that the kingdom of God has come near to you. The Lord is available to you. And in that sense, the kingdom of God has come near to you. But whatever city you enter and they do not receive you, go out into the streets and say, the very dust of your city, which clings to us, we will wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near you. But I say to you that it will be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. So the Lord is saying that when you preach the gospel, there's consequences, and the people that will not receive it are going to be judged because of it. This seems to be an earthly judgment having to do with national issues, but there's always consequences associated with rejecting the gospel. And we know as we preach the gospel that we are always divided into two camps. We have those who receive it and those who don't, those who believe it and those who don't, those that are saved and those that are lost, and there's no in between. And those that receive it are blessed. If we take God at his word and trust in Christ, the Savior of sinners, we're blessed. And if we reject it, there's consequences associated with it, not only consequences in this life with regard to our blessings in this life or lack of blessings in this life. It affects our nations, it affects our families, it affects those around us, but there are eternal consequences because the Lord tells us he came to seek and to save the lost. And he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. So we'll always see these consequences. So when we preach the gospel, we don't try to make a business out of it. We take advantage of those who are hospitable and agreeable and agree with what we are doing. We try to work with those who are in fellowship with us. We are faithful, and we try to prove that we have the very word of God. And in our case, we prove it by going to the Bible, and then we recognize that there's going to be some who are going to trust in the Lord and some who are not. And we trust that we can make the gospel clear and that the Holy Spirit can use it so that people will be reached and saved and that they'll be saved for eternity. So I believe our work today is much like this work. The only difference would be that I cannot prove that I have the word of God by being able to do miraculous miracles today. But I can still preach that the kingdom has come near to you because I have the Lord who is still available to those that we preach to. He's available in a spiritual way, and we enjoy his blessing when we trust in him. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon the program and upon those who have listened. We just trust that what has been of thyself will be retained, and what has not will be soon forgotten. We commit ourselves into your care in our Savior's name. Amen. Our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.